Hello, today is August 7th, and it's Tuesday, and that means it's the news.
What year is it?
It's 2018.
Yeah. You think anybody's watching these in the wrong year?
No.
I don't think these have a lot of replayability, unless you want to watch like the week before, maybe.
I would say comment if you ever watch these and it's the wrong year, but we'll never go back and look at the comments. So,
YouTube helpfully notifies us that. If, like, for some reason, comments on older videos, YouTube is like, to the top with you on the back end. This is a comment on an old video. You should really look at this. And it's just like,
Well, we get so many comment notifications, though. Eventually, it'll just say 99 plus.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the notification says.
Maybe if one of us dies, some people might watch them in memoriam.
Oh, wow, that's dark.
I think these are kind of funnier than most people give us credit for, because there's some layers to the humor, and some of that holds up.
You just invited a lot of criticism there.
Yeah. Well, it's actually not that funny. I just watched to make fun of you guys.
And speaking of criticism, we heap, or at least I heap, a healthy amount of criticism on Tesla.
It's so easy.
But this week,
he does make it easy.
Tesla got a little bit of revenge, especially on its short sellers.
The short sellers currently, on paper at least, have lost $1.7 billion. But they're not buying yet. So they may, if Tesla goes down again, maybe they'll be okay.
You usually attribute this to what they call a short squeeze, which is where the short people start getting caught and they're like, oh God, I better cover my short. And then they buy. But according to MSNBC or CNBC, that's not what's happening here. They're not buying to cover. So this is just exuberance.
They're not buying to cover because nobody wants to buy at the lower price, or they shorted it so hardcore that
there are big names getting into the Tesla short.
Oh, yeah. I was surprised by one of the hedge fund managers that was listed in the article. So yeah, they actually did the homework on the article to like figure out who was doing what.
And they got in. So the reason for this was the conference call. They actually...
They hopped on a call.
They burned... They
nothing good happened when someone hopped on a call.
They burned through more money than people expected. But they also managed to turn a little bit of a profit, I think. So, or at least more than expected. And that seems to be why people are buying it like crazy.
Well, that's one of the things that Elon Musk always says, and I don't know how true it is, but he's always like, I don't want to make money yet. I have ideas for how we can spend all of our money to make even more money, so I'm going to spend every dollar we make. I don't know how true that is, but that's what he always says.
The Bezos gambit.
Yeah. Well, I worked for Bezos.
I did. He's got a way better product.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that you might be excited about, if you're a Teslut, I came up with that, by the way.
Did you come up with it? It sounds like something
it could be parallel thinking, but I've never heard it before I came up with it.
There is a little bit of that test sluttiness around.
Oh my God, there's so many.
The guy with the trucker hat in their comments.
Anyway, you probably already know and are quite excited that Tesla is not letting NVIDIA bottleneck anymore. They're going to make their own chips.
Tesla's building its own AI for self-driving cars. This might have been something Jim Keller was working on. I would be willing to bet that there's an x86 core, a Zen core from AMD in here, but it's probably going to be combined with Tesla's own special sauce in silicon for AI.
Sauce.
Now, they did mention...
Just pouring it over the electronics.
Yeah, they mentioned how...
sauce.
This is fun.
In the NVIDIA world, they're doing it in, you know, some amount of emulation. He wants everything on bare metal to be faster. They claim it was, like 4 or 5 times faster?
Yeah.
Maybe it was 2.7. Anyway, they claim it's a huge increase, and it's very quick and easy to swap because they made it with the same form factor.
And this is the same MO that we're seeing from AMD across tons of other businesses as well. You know, the Chinese are getting licenses for Zen cores for their own CPUs. Zen cores are being incorporated in special things. We're going to learn more about a video game console later. What a time to be alive.
I don't think they said anything about AMD.
No, not in that article. But Jim Keller was working on that, and they mentioned AMD before, so that's why I'm saying that.
Chill.
Classic.
Hype jar. AMD. I'm going to have to put some more money in the hype jar.
And, of course, we talk about Tesla burning money. So what do they do when they burn money? They come up with a gimmick. And what do you people do? You gobble it up. And that's what happened also.
The surfboard. Maybe I missed this, but like, does the surfboard do anything? Is it special other than it has the Tesla logo on it?
I mean, it's not. I'm sure it's a nice surf. I don't know anything about surfboards. That one looks pretty. They mention how it is painted with like official Tesla paint.
Whatever. Matte black, yeah.
But whatever goes on the cars is also going on the surfboard.
I think there were quite a few people that tweeted that they bought these just because it was black and red. And it's like, okay.
You can't paint a traditional surfboard.
Yeah, whatever you can't color just you buy want. A surfboard that's already. Yeah.
But you have to. They did mention that they were for $1,500. I don't know what a surfboard costs, but $1,500 seems high, right?
A lot, yeah.
I could see it being kind of, maybe it's expensive for the market, but like I think they're fairly expensive.
I'm sure there are high end surfboards that cost more. But here's the thing: you can sell one right now for anywhere between $2,000 and $4,000 on eBay. So can't really laugh at the people who picked them up.
Is it going to be like Beanie Babies where if you sell it immediately after you buy it, it's going to be your best return, but 5 years from now, it's going to be worthless?
Well, here's the thing. If Tesla goes out of business, do they lose value or gain value? I think they gain value, right?
Well, the hype is gone at that point, and Elon's just ranting madly to himself on Twitter, and no one really cares anymore. So,
what happens if somebody takes one out in the ocean and it catches fire?
Oh, no, not again.
Well, you know what else is on fire? People sending their DNA out to be DNA typed.
What?
They love it.
On fire.
You know, as in popularity.
Oh, okay.
Just go with it.
It's fire.
Well, last
100.
Last week we talked about how these companies will actually share your data with law enforcement and drug companies. And we surmised soon insurance companies. Well, they got in front of that and they said, no, we're going to make new rules about that.
And
that we're totally going to follow.
The rules say that they've got to explicitly opt in, but I don't know how they're going to explicitly opt in against the blanket warrant that's like, give us all your DNA so we can see if it matches this criminal.
No, the opt-in is for medical.
Yeah.
For the police stuff, they're just going to notify you because they can't really say no to that.
Neat.
But yeah, I would never do this. Unfortunately, it doesn't matter whether I do it or not. If a close enough family member of mine does it, I'm basically in there. So
it's like the Cambridge Analytica thing, except with your genetics instead of your
you
friends.
You have to worry about all of Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah, but you can't. I cannot use Facebook and avoid Cambridge Analytica. I can't not use my DNA.
You got that shadow profile.
I'm using
it's the same
my
difference.
DNA.
Shadow
you should
profile,
put in like
DNA.
Dog DNA and see if it like catches the like does
no.
it print out an error? Or is it just making?
Yeah,
shit
they're
up?
They're going to know the difference.
You think they just? I think they make stuff up.
They tie. Oh, you think they're making up the?
Oh yeah.
The ethnic stuff, really?
Yeah.
I don't think so, because a lot of people, I actually saw an article about how some of the, you know, like the more serious people who are like very serious about their race, like the white nationalists or the Black Lives Matter people, will do this and they'll get back results where it's like, you ain't what you think you are, and that just destroys them.
Wow.
But how funny would it be if they were making it up, though? Like, just to troll people like that.
That would be hilarious. I think they would be sued into oblivion.
Yeah. Well, and then there was that guy who got convicted of being the California killer recently.
Yeah, I think.
The Golden State Killer.
Hopefully they do some follow-up tests, but who knows? It could all be smoke and mirrors, right? Well, let's talk about ISPs. We love to talk about ISPs. Have we ever done a Level 1 News? Well, there wasn't some news about ISPs.
No.
I don't think we ever.
Because they're always they're
there's always something.
They've got armies of people that are literally employed to be up to no good.
Essentially. Well, how about AT&T? Have you ever worked for them? Well, if you retire, they might send collection agents after you.
So apparently, whoever's managing their retirement fund made a lot of horrible mistakes and gave people more money than they were entitled, and so now they want people to pay it back.
Yeah, detailed a couple of cases. One was a lady who she had worked for them in two different ways. Like she had two jobs. So somehow it got confused and paid her for three. And they were just like, yo, it's 58 grand. And she's like, I don't have it. I can't do anything. So collections agencies.
Isn't there some sort of precedent for that? Like that would protect the people who kind of got screwed by the company there?
There are. So here's the thing about it. The laws actually support doing something because it's the pension systems. The pension systems are very fragile. So the laws protect them because if the pension system goes default, then the whole thing goes, you know, belly up and you're done. So the rule is you must you must put the money back, but you have three options. You can try to get it from the people you paid it to, or the pension system can try to raise the capital from shareholders just to keep it, you know, solvent. Or the company itself can cover those expenses. And they mentioned like, you know, it's $58,000. AT&T's profit was like $4 billion. So
yeah.
Maybe that's the way to go.
There was, they said it was fewer than 0.1%, so I'm sure that a lot more than $58,000 is at stake in total. But I think that it's probably going to be on the fund administrator's insurance. Like, the fund administrators probably have an insurance policy against these kinds of mistakes. So I would think that the fund administration insurance policy should be the thing that pays out here. Yeah, I can't.
You went a little Sean Connery there.
I'm still getting over my cold, and something stung me on the nose.
He's been robo-tripping pretty hard. We played Minecraft on stream last week, and he laughed for like 5 minutes solid after he saw a pig face in the game.
What were you doing that you got stung on the nose?
I don't even know. Like, I was outside, and then something, and then it was like a sharp pain, and then I was like, well, that's weird. And then like a day later, it was all red and swollen.
Have you been trying to raid beehives again?
It's definitely not cancer. Thank you for your concern. One of my other motherboard videos was just, come on, guys, it's fine. I don't care. I'm not going to
As far as we know, Wendell doesn't have cancer.
Now it's going to be really sad if he does.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, you know what is cancer?
AT&T and Verizon. Yeah.
What a good segue.
So I can sum up this article for you in like a sentence. Communications is an inelastic market, meaning that you will pay whatever for communications, and it doesn't matter how crappy it is.
Well, we actually saw this. Remember the, it was the unlimited plans. So after the mergers, the unlimited plans, the prices increased just a little bit, but what they really did was they cut the bottom tier plans.
Yeah.
So basically everybody pays the same price, but it's the highest price. And so they're detailing here how even if you have the absolute worst DSL service, it's like 0.3 up and 1.5 down, you pay the same price as the fiber customers.
Yeah.
And
because you got no other option.
Yeah, that seems fair.
And actually that leads us right into the next article, which this details how the, you know, the monopoly or duopoly, but they talk to, you know, to throw back to that, they talk about how people who use DSL really only use DSL because one of these two companies doesn't operate in their area. And they have literally no other choice.
68 million subscribers only have a choice of one.
Does our article have a map associated with it? If you scroll down.
Yeah, but it's hard to see because it's just little dots. So that's Charter is red, Comcast is blue, and overlap is yellow, which like I don't even see the overlap.
No.
There's not much.
I see a couple places in Florida, and that's about it.
Yeah, I think that might be the only one. I wonder why.
Old people.
Maybe some California.
Old people. I can't FaceTime with my grandkids.
Yeah, that's probably a little bit of that.
So yeah, it's...
What color is Appalachian Wireless on this map?
Well, they're independent. You can see only the major cities in most places have the big coverage bubbles. But this is not news, I think, to most of our viewers.
No.
We all know. We all know what's going on, but they did some study.
Do we need a study? Do we really need... I mean, it seems so disingenuous.
Someone was funded by someone.
It was the Institute for Local Self-Reliance did this study.
I mean, I don't think we need a study to determine that ISPs are doing terrible, terrible things to our communications infrastructure, and our economy is going to suffer because of it.
But it's good that the normies hear about this, you know?
If they hear about it.
You got to tell the normies.
You think normies watching this news program or
anything
else like
this? Well,
they
know, but they might read whatever, CNET or whatever that was. Maybe. Mm. I don't know. I mean, normies... We're in a world where normies are affected by the internet, right?
That's true.
It's everybody uses it.
They're affected by the internet and don't realize it. It's like, oh, I've got to go with Tidal because it's faster than iTunes or whatever.
Well, it turns out the things that affect the normies will play ball with the ISPs in order to get preferential treatment or in order to just not be screwed with, as we see in our next article.
Because they can't do anything. Now, the interesting thing about this is the lawsuits go back to like 20... Well, the allegations and the lawsuits go back to like 2015, 2016, 2017. And so Spectrum has allegedly throttled content providers Netflix and Riot Games for money. But the amazing thing about this article is that this is stuff that is coming out of the New York Attorney General's case.
Throwing out Charter and thus Spectrum.
Yeah.
Which is also time
for cause.
And so, yeah, basically, you know, we know Netflix amazingly, because Netflix for the longest time were being throttled. We know that now.
Yeah.
And eventually they were like, okay, we'll pay, because they didn't have a choice.
And they make a lot of money.
But then when net neutrality came around, Netflix actually fought it a little bit, which is funny, because it was like, well, we joined the dark side. We didn't have a choice. So I guess we're just going
to
go with it.
Everyone else should have to do what I had to do.
We can undermine our competitors or whatever. This is actually really good. This is a good strategy for, I think, the New York Attorney General, because it's a little bit of a game of chicken, because Charter in New York State is like, you're not going to throw us out. We're too big to throw out. We're too big to fail. You can't do this. And so the New York Attorney General really doesn't have a lot of stuff to fight with here. But if he can get some of this stuff in evidentiary procedures or whatever in a court and actually get it into the public record, just how insidious this stuff is, maybe people will be pissed off to do something about it.
I don't know, because we've known it for so long.
We've known it, but I don't think the normies have really believed it.
But I don't know if the normies are going to
follow. The public
at
large is what we mean.
We still have people in our comments that say that Netflix should actually pay because they use so much bandwidth. And that is like a fundamentally, like, those companies have done a great job convincing people to fundamentally misunderstand the situation.
But it could also end up that this whole thing, you know, they get kicked out, but the transition doesn't happen quickly. I think that's very likely.
I think that Comcast, like, if the New York thing goes really sour, I think that they're going to deliberately sabotage their infrastructure to make it impossible for even well-meaning people to take over.
And then everybody blames the Attorney General and begs for Rome to come back in and clean up the mess.
That seems exceedingly likely as to what's going to happen. And you better believe that these ISPs will do that, because to do anything else undermines their business model. And because of all these mergers and whatever, they've got a lot of stuff to pay off, and customers are going to have to pay for that.
Well, so let's like skip a year in the future when we're right about that. So everyone just put a little check mark next to this timestamp. This little future
put
prediction.
Put it on your Outlook calendar.
Yeah. Was level one text right?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the normies and them them not understanding technology, how about Apple is now worth $1 trillion.
What an amazing segue. This is entirely because people have to buy 40 different combinations of dongles.
So many dongles.
It's like, I'm already buying a really expensive laptop, but I'm going to have to spend another $1,000 on dongles, and people just don't even realize it.
You're foreshadowing. So yeah, this is, they hit a market cap, $1 trillion. I think they're still there. I think they didn't go back down. It was up. So here we are. We're in a world. This is the first time any corporation in the U.S. I don't know about elsewhere in the world, but definitely in the New York or the U.S. stock market, no one has ever been worth $1 trillion.
That's crazy.
Amazon is right on their heels too. Yeah. I bet Amazon will be there before the end of the year.
Well, let's think about this for a second. Amazon sells old computers. Like last year's technology, they're not really innovative.
You're talking about Apple.
Apple, yeah. They're not really well designed. Did I say Amazon? I mean Apple.
You said Amazon.
Sorry. They sell the stuff's not really innovative technologically. The software, if anything, is maybe a differentiating factor, but not the hardware. And the software, really, if you know somebody like Google got off their butt, they could probably compete on the software side in terms of like how easy it is. And you look at Amazon, and it's like it's more believable that Amazon could become a $1 trillion company than Apple. It's more believable that Samsung could become a $1 trillion company. Because look at Samsung. They make wrenches and bicycles and TVs and washers
literally
and dryers
everything
and electronics
in South
and DRAM.
Korea.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally like all of the country of South Korea is built on Samsung, and they could sell it to the rest of the world. That's believable that they could become a $1 trillion company because they're literally selling everything. How is Apple a $1 trillion company unless they're just robbing people?
It's margin. They're doing all the things that you said. They're selling old technology for new technology prices. I mean, from a business standpoint, it's brilliant. It's a marketing force that the world has never seen before. It's incredible. It's just, it's a castle built on sand, but I don't see it sinking.
No.
So here we are.
I don't know a whole lot of people. Maybe it's just over the years, my friend circle has changed, but like, even people I knew who were very big into Macs when I was in like design school and stuff don't have Macs anymore. So I don't know who's buying them. Maybe it's young students who don't really know any better.
That's because you're getting old, Krista.
Yeah, maybe.
You're not hip anymore.
I'm not hip. But even, like I'm saying, like designers aren't even buying them anymore. So who's buying them?
Real popular in colleges. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's and just, computers, the desktop is not their huge market.
That's so true.
You're talking about iPads. And don't forget they've got Beats.
Oh, yeah.
Beats is huge.
Oh, yeah.
Those headphones are trash. Garbage.
Hey, but they come in every color that you could ever want.
I'm not even into music, and I know that they're garbage.
Well, sometimes these stories hit home. And here at Level 1, you know, because Level 1's got day jobs.
We do some stuff.
We got to pay the bills.
So those of you out there who work on the web and have to use the Facebook API, maybe you discovered this little nugget at the same time we did.
Facebook has shut off access to user data for hundreds of thousands of apps. Needless to say, the last few weeks have been eventful.
So if you have an app that publishes on behalf of someone on their timeline, which is very, very common, you know, you got a button that you're gonna click, share and stuff like that, doesn't work anymore unless you have gotten your app approved by the Facebook regime.
Womp womp.
So if you got some angry phone calls on Friday or
or when, emails, as
when
it
was August 1st? Was that Thursday?
It was Wednesday, I think.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's probably why.
So you might have been dealing with that.
Now this is, you know, follows Twitter. Twitter did this as well. I think Twitter handled it a little bit better because they gave you a lot more warning and it was like, hey, you're still using an application, because you go through the process with Twitter and sometimes they would just screw it up. But with Facebook, it was like, we're going to make a change. And it's like, is this application okay? And Facebook's like, yeah, it's totally fine. It wasn't.
Well, they did announce it in July, but
that's a pretty quick turnaround.
There wasn't a lot of fanfare to it. No. So unless you're following the Facebook developer blog,
you're sharing those articles to your Facebook
blog. I don't have that kind of time in my day. Sorry.
Torrent Freak. What's up with Torrent Freak?
Torrent Freak, it's amazing how many news articles they have. They really have gotten into website. I bet you love that, don't you?
I actually do kind of like their site.
Well, this is a tale as old as time. This is like, you know, Romeo and Juliet level repetition in the news. This is the record industry suing.
But they're suing Cox, which is a first. They're an ISP. This is a wedge with which they will use to drive more controls down the throats of consumers.
So the deal here is they believe that they should be able to have like a strike system. So if they find you violating DMCA,
that they control.
Yeah, they can issue strikes, and if you get enough strikes, you get kicked off your ISP. Now, of course, the ISPs don't want this. They want customers. And they don't, for the most part, they don't care about this kind of thing. You know, they'll do lip service, but they just want more customers. That's their thing. So Cox, these companies are Sony, Warner Brothers, I bet Disney's in there. They don't mention
it. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, they're all suing and saying that Cox is not doing enough to control these pirates. And they want something like 150,000 per.
Yeah.
And that's per file.
This is $1 billion copyright suit.
I think
suit.
It's 1.5 billion if they were to get. And of course they won't get that much money. They might not even get anything. But it's kind of disgusting to see. I think more and more these people are fading into obscurity. And they're doing everything they can to claw their way and keep all the money.
You know what goes a long way to stop piracy? Reasonable access to media and not artificial limitations on distribution.
I haven't pirated a song since I got Google Music because it's more convenient. It's reasonably priced. I use it probably once a day, but I'm paying my $8 a month and they're probably getting a pretty decent return for that. Now, a lot of the music companies are mad because it used to be that musicians got incredibly overwhelmed, like they were paid far too much for their work just because the distribution was controlled. And now musicians have to work. They have to tour. They have to, oh man, it sucks. Welcome to the real world.
I have to perform. Ryan Gosling's out there somewhere.
No.
Well.
That's one of our viewers.
His PUBG performance, I have no... Like, you know,
he has to carry
us. He deserves what he gets. So Amazon, this should be, I almost put this in nonsense because you can file this under.
Who doesn't know this?
Yeah. Shocking no one. it turns out some reviews are fake.
There's actually a service, I can't remember the name of it right now, that you can run an Amazon product through to determine how many of the reviews are fake.
Amazon has been real serious about trying to combat this, though. They've shut down people's entire Amazon accounts.
So this, they talked to a certain Amazon review cheater in this article who, you know, didn't identify himself. And he talked about how there, one of the things we deal with a lot is there, you know, this underground of if you run a sweepstakes or a rebate or something on a website, there's a whole underground that just like spreads that information and tells them how to get it. And
the deal websites.
The easiest way to do it without a lot of effort. And that's kind of what they're doing here. They'll be like, hey, I've got this, you know, Ethernet cable. Review it. You'll get it for free plus $10. And there's whole websites to associate you with those people. And they'll tell you how to get around Amazon's checks or try to or whatever.
It used to be that they would mark themselves in those reviews. You'd see like, they'd write this really long, nice review, and it's like, oh, man, maybe I should get this. And then at the bottom, it'd be like, this product was given to me by so-and-so.
See, but that's not how they're doing it. Because
yeah, not now.
You buy it, and it all looks legit, but then they give you back all that money plus a little bit more.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, if Amazon catches you doing that, no more Amazon Prime for you, no groceries. Amazon hopes you starve to death. Seems a little extreme to me, but okay.
That would be a dark existence. No Amazon, no Amazon Prime. What could I do without it?
Well, I don't have Prime, but it'd be like, do they completely suspend your whole Amazon account?
Yeah.
I imagine so, yeah. You'd have to like move and fake your name or something.
Yeah, so anybody that's tempted to do that in the audience, don't do it because it will end badly.
Well, we've tested a variety of office communication tools around here. And they are pretty much universally garbage. Let me tell you,
yeah.
Skype for Business, oh my God, that is
bad. It hangs bad. Constantly.
Bad. And the mobile integration and stuff, forget it.
My favorite is Slack because it goes off every 3 seconds because people are like, hey, are you there?
What are you doing?
Hey. How's
it
going?
Have you fixed this copy change? Have you fixed this copy change?
What's going on? How's it going? Hey. I've got here's
I'm
the thing.
Frantically F5-ing this page and nothing's happening.
Ding, ding, ding.
Hey.
Hello. Don't mean to prod. Just want to prod. Can I prod? I'm getting a lot of pressure. Can you prod?
Well, that probably is going to take a back seat to this Chinese software.
This Chinese software sounds worse than Slack.
So the idea here is that managers can ding you, which triggers a text message, an email, a notification in the app. And
a desktop alert.
And you like it shows the red status on all of those things. So if you see that in any format, the other person knows you just saw it. And the Chinese people who are subjected to this are furious. They hate it.
Much like any information worker this that's is, like, I need to use my brain to solve a problem. Can you leave me alone for 5 seconds?
This is gonna topple the Chinese government. They're gonna be so filled with rage and hate. They're going to take to the streets.
So they talk about after hours, holidays. It doesn't matter because it's a shit rolls downhill kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like the manager gets dinged and then everybody working on the project gets dinged.
Yeah. And then it turns into a fire drill.
Exactly. And anybody who's not responding, this app keeps track of that. Yeah. And it gives you performance ratings based on whether or not you were there for them.
See, I have a fairly strict policy for myself. Unless it's a severe emergency, I generally stop responding to emails about 6 p.m. Because you can't open that door for clients to let them just start texting and emailing you all the time. That's a dark road to go down. Well, don't go down it.
It's even with just email through the day. Like if you only check your email every like 30 minutes or an hour, and you only respond to email like every, you know, 2 to 4 hours, that's not unreasonable. In fact, that's like super, super reasonable, but you have no chance of getting anything done if you respond as soon as you get a notification.
We have some subcontractors who check their email at 9:30 and 4:30, and that's it. And it's like, bro, are you serious?
And then say, we need this done by the end of the day at 4:30.
I understand, you know, you want that zen-like experience, but this is the real world. Well, last week we talked about Alex Jones, and that's a contentious topic for the comments.
We mentioned specifically his Spotify account, and there's some news regarding that.
But a lot of people are pro-Jones, and a lot of people are anti-Jones. I believe we should be in the middle. I believe let him do what he wants, but
feel free to ignore an idiot.
don't buy into it. I would say do the same thing for all news.
For us, know, even.
Including this one.
NBC and Alex Jones should be treated with the same critical eye. But anyway, even Spotify. They haven't gotten rid of him. What was Facebook and who was the other one?
YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube got rid of him.
Facebook suspended him and YouTube gave him strikes and they're threatening to take him down entirely. Spotify is just sort of like picking and choosing which one of his podcasts violate the hate rule.
Seems arbitrary and a lot of work.
Who do you think has to listen to
him? Yeah, so who has to listen to him talking about the frogs being gay?
That would be
pretty much all I know about
it. You know, terrible existence.
Somebody posted in one of the chats I look at every day the actual quote unquote scientific video about the frogs being gay. And there were some dudes in lab coats and they showed frogs having sex and said one of them was male. How would I know the difference? I don't know.
But maybe they don't know either. Maybe they're hypothesizing. They're projecting onto the frogs.
But it wasn't that they were gay. It was that genetically male frogs were turning female, Jurassic Park style.
Yeah, it's like these people haven't watched Jurassic Park. They haven't read a Michael Crichton book.
But they're claiming it's because they were found in California in the runoff ditches between fields. And they're saying it's just all the pesticides. So.
Or a single gender environment and they swap.
I just generated so much engagement.
You're wrong.
I didn't know what to think about our next story. Like I was, it's like,
I'll tell you, there's a perk that we have here as well, and that's free lunch. Although we don't have an indoor or in-office cafeteria. But in the tech world, it's not uncommon for them to have a nice cafeteria on the premises where you go and have your lunch. San Francisco doesn't like that.
San Francisco wants you to go out into the community and have restaurants not owned by the technology company so that you mingle with the rest of the population and or it boosts the economy.
That's not necessarily like a bad stance, but you can't force people to go do that. What if they just go to the grocery store too?
You say they can't. In fact, they're floating some sort of resolution that new companies cannot have in-house cafeterias.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, why not just make your restaurant more appealing to tech workers instead of...
Well, they talk about... And this is partly, I think, because this is San Francisco. And Seattle is another one that has this problem. And I think a lot of that has to do with how ungodly liberal those towns are. So they tolerate the kinds of policies that create this horrific outside experience. So they talk about Twitter. There are people shooting meth and heroin outside of Twitter's doors. But once you're inside, there's a wall of security guards. And you don't want to go back out into the community because it's horrible out there. There's terrible things to see. You might get accosted. There's feces.
It's a scene out of a dystopian movie.
Exactly, yeah.
So fecal matter.
They're saying, hey, we need you to go back out in the community. And these tech workers are like, oh, I don't want to go in the community. You know, I'm better than you people. And a lot of that has to do with the tech companies. They definitely do make more money and drive up the housing costs. And I don't know if that creates homelessness per se.
Yeah, I'm not really defending either side here, but it seems like there's a happy middle ground that you could reach.
But taking away people's ability to eat lunch at work is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, like, what can you not... Is this going to policy they're going to say, like, you can't bring your lunch to work either? Like, what? They're going to stop selling lunch boxes?
One of the things about the Google cafeteria is they actually make delicious, nutritious meals, and delicious, nutritious meals in a restaurant form factor. It's sort of not a thing in America.
Yeah, they...
Well, there are, but probably a lot in San Francisco, too, but...
And I'm sure they also cater to that, like, you know, vegan
sort
of hipster crap. And you might not be able to find that. Oh, I'm sure you can in San Francisco.
Anyway. Well, who knows how far you have to drive either, too. If you're a restaurant person, I think you'd want to set up a restaurant right outside the door.
You take your Lime bike and further support your community.
Oh.
Your Lime bike where the seat's covered with homeless feces.
What about food trucks? Could the company bring food trucks into their parking lot? Because some people just want to eat at their desk.
Well, food trucks are not considered that's like...
That would still be supporting a local business, though.
Yeah, but
that'd be a way to get around.
You're not getting like really high quality food from a food truck usually.
Oh, some people will argue with you on that. Controversy. Hashtag controversy.
See, I don't think they just simply don't have the equipment or the refrigeration.
The
menu is limited.
Yeah, the menu is limited.
You're not getting foie gras at
You think they're serving that at the cafeteria?
They the hipsters wouldn't eat it anyway because the poor little geese. Or is it duck?
It's duck. Duck liver.
Duck, yeah.
Is it gavaging? Look up gavaging. That's what it's called.
Risky click of the day.
Anyway, something that I cannot transition into. Oh, you know who else is forcing fatty foods down their customers' throats? No, I'm sorry. I can't do it.
Movie pass. This is an update from last week.
So last week we covered they ran out of money and they were in a lot of trouble. And we said, what are they going to do? And the answer is raise prices and reduce choices.
I like the subtitle here. It's pass or fail time because it's movie pass. Good job, editor of this article.
I like our thou shall not pass much better.
Oh, yeah. We did that this week.
So what they're going to do is, what was the Mission Impossible? They started with Mission Impossible. You just can't watch it on MoviePass. Yeah, not yet.
You got to wait.
You will eventually. And then they're adding extra charges to quote-unquote popular movies, which a lot of people said every movie on my list now has an added charge. So nothing is free anymore. Maybe like eight-week-old movies, which I can find in one theater, are still free.
I was going to say, there used to be a thing, at least in a lot of cities in the U.S., is where you'd have, like, the old movie theater, where all the movies that were, like, 3 months old went to die, and you could watch them for, like, what, $3 or something like that?
I remember back when movies were on film, by the time, like, when you watched them there, they were real washed out.
Yeah.
Because the film had been burned so much. But I don't know if those movies, I've not used MoviePass, I'm not sure all those theaters would be on it.
Oh, probably not. No.
So
seems unlikely.
The other thing is they're raising the price to $14.99 a month, I think. When I remember the big thing was it was $9.99. And then you could buy the annual pass, which was $100. And everybody was like, how are they going to sustain that? And the answer is they're not.
They're not. $15 a month. That'd be like if you saw one movie.
Seems like Cinemark or somebody should just buy them for pennies.
Why
would they buy them? Yeah, they're not making a profit. No,
they would be able to make more money because Cinemark owns the theaters and the venue and stuff, so Cinemark knows exactly how much to charge.
But then you're buying tickets online, which you can already do.
Yeah, through Cinemark.
Potentially. But it's a monthly subscription thing, so they could manage it from their end that way.
But you're buying debt as well. I don't know. That makes no sense.
Yeah. Maybe they might do like a competing app, but I don't think that they would buy it.
Probably should have put this story next to the Apple $1 trillion story. Oops. But all the good news for Apple people, you know, the $1 trillion market cap is great, but maybe in some not so good news, they're no longer in second place.
Huawei. This is surprising because wasn't Huawei, didn't we have an article a while back that, Huawei was not on the approved list, let's say, from the Department of Defense?
I don't know that it matters too much because, you know, as a lot of people predicted, as the middle class in America dwindles, China and India, let's not forget India, are driving a lot of the market these days.
Oh, yeah.
And they seem to like these Huawei. Chinese phones.
Yeah.
And Xiaomi, how do you pronounce that? That's another big one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The one that starts with an X. Yeah.
So these Chinese companies are rapidly advancing on. Number one is still Samsung. They are unassailed. But Apple.
Yeah, how is Samsung not a $1 trillion company?
Well, they don't sell all their stuff. But, I mean, Korea, they're, you know, basically God. But that doesn't cross over into other markets.
Glorious leader, yeah, Samsung.
But yeah, maybe bad news. Might not be able to hang on to that $1 trillion market cap. I don't know, though. I think they'll be fine. They're going to come out in the fall. They'll bring out some new phones, which are exactly like the other phones. And everybody will run out and buy them. And they'll laugh sinisterly the entire time. Oh, man, I thought about just removing this one because this wasn't much of a story. But
it's kind of good news.
I forgot. So what this story is, basically, they're just saying that the same movie industry that we talked about earlier that's trying to sue everybody, they can't stand the fact that Google lists the Pirate Bay when you search for the Pirate Bay. But Google stands fast.
They won't take down the Pirate Bay homepage because the Pirate Bay homepage doesn't actually have any infringing content on it. But it is constantly listed on takedown notices from tons of different copyright holders.
Which is a false DMCA. And there should be a penalty for that. But there isn't. So they'll make a copyright claim and they'll just list, you know, like, you know, Rudolph movie or whatever, anything. And they'll say the Pirate Bay dot whatever it is, not .com.
Rudolph anymore. Movie, was that intentional?
Oh. I don't know. What are you talking about?
Because my nose.
So sensitive.
No, I was trying to think of an obscure movie. Do they still show the Rudolph movie every Christmas?
They yes. do. Yeah. You don't watch it every year?
That's perennial. I don't have TV.
I bought the Charlie Brown Christmas movie so I can watch it every year. That and A Christmas Story.
I think I've seen the Rudolph movie enough times that I could just replay it in my head. I don't really need to rewatch it.
But you might need it on DVD.
You know, we often joke about hopping on a call. Oh, when you hear those words, it's dark times.
That blood pressure goes up 8 points.
But the good news is, at least in the UK, fewer and fewer people are hopping on a call. And in fact, for the first time since we've been measuring mobile calls, it's declined in 2017.
Because phone calls are a terrible waste of time most of the time.
I think the only people who really like phone calls are people who are generally older. Like, my mom likes phone calls, and she's like, well, you know, when a client wants to talk to you, sometimes, you know, us older folk, that's what she says, that we like to be on the phone. I'm like, Mom, it would be so much quicker just to email it, though, than to explain what I need emailed to me on the phone.
I have a guy who calls me every month at the beginning of the month. I just had this call this week because it's the beginning of the month. He's like, hey, I can't get into this website. And the answer is always, your username is not what you think it is. It's this instead. And I have it memorized now. He doesn't, but I do. And it's always a phone call. And it's like, dude, if you just searched your email, you don't even have to email it.
You can just look at your old emails.
And every time he's like, oh, didn't we? I think you said that last time, didn't you? Yeah, I did.
You think you just, you know, write it down on a post-it note or.
But yeah, some people will always pick up the phone. And I don't know how you, what do you do about it?
Blockchain? We've got to solve this problem with blockchain.
Here's the blockchain. Well, Nestle, which is my favorite company. Well, I don't know if it's my favorite. It's my favorite food processing company. Let me say that.
And water processing.
Well, they own like 4,000 companies. It's insane. What I mean, they own pet food. They own baby food is what this is about. They own the water. It's just insane what Nestle owns. But anyway, they've decided to use the blockchain for baby food.
Neat.
This article is blocked.
Oh, did we? See, I was able to read this morning.
Yeah, no.
This article. No. Oh, well. Well, right. I bet you could probably firebug it, but it's probably not worth it.
No, the Wall Street Journal got hip to that. So the idea here is when you get, like, you know, we always see these food recalls, right? You got the salmonella and the lettuce or, you know, whatever. Robovirus. What's the one thing called?
Norovirus. That's the stomach flu.
Anyway. Those headlines are bad. But when it's baby food, it's real bad because people freak. Oh, my baby.
And I mean, to be fair, babies have weakened immune systems. So I understand. Oh, my baby.
We've got so many of them. You know? Anyway, so the idea is they've instituted a blockchain. And they're so serious about this that they've partnered with Unilever, which is the other massive company who owns everything that you've ever heard of, and Walmart and IBM. So they're taking like Bob's carrot farm and assigning blockchain to his carrot shipments that follows those carrots all the way to the baby food. So when something breaks out, they are hoping to use that blockchain to figure out where it was and everything it touched along the way.
They're usually pretty good about finding that stuff anyway, I thought. Like, they can usually, like, maybe not the exact farm, but they can usually pinpoint the area it's from.
Yeah, is this a marketing thing? Are they doing this for marketing reasons to be like, look, our baby food has blockchain, which makes it better than all other baby food buyer baby food?
You know, I'm surprised that more people don't just blend up their own baby food.
That's actually very common.
Is it?
Yeah, I know quite a few people who've made their own baby food. It is really, really easy if you have the time to just blend stuff all the time.
Well, I mean, you just have to like blend it like once every 3 days or something, right?
I think so. I think the person I knew who did it was like once a week, she would just sit down and like spend all afternoon blending baby food.
And you don't have to do it. How long do babies go? What's the baby food eating span? Like a year?
Two? You can start feeding them solid food. I mean, it kind of just depends on how their teeth are developing. And
I hope I never have to think about that. Well, the other thing that has nothing to do with babies is the Nest Classic.
It outsold the PS4, the Xbox One, and the Switch in June.
Now, this sheds some light, or at least some detail, on last week when we talked about Nintendo suing ROM sites. And maybe this is why. I don't think they ever expected the NES Classic to be as super popular as it is, but everybody wants one. The thing about the NES Classic is you don't get very many games. You get like
there weren't 30, a lot of games
30
on
games,
it.
Maybe, yeah. I think.
It's like the 30 most popular games ever, but there's a few really popular games that were not included in the...
It was definitely not the most popular games ever.
Did they include the Addams Family on it?
I don't think that's one of the most popular games.
I had three games. We had Duck Hunt, Mario, and Addams Family.
Well, Duck Hunt and Mario come with it.
Yeah, those are the two popular ones I wanted.
Wow.
Those are in one cartridge. It doesn't even count as two. It's just one.
And then later you got Track and Field with that as well.
Addams Family would only let you play as Pugsley, which I thought was sexist and bullshit when I was 5 years old. I wanted to play as Wednesday.
But yeah, it's $60, I think, for 30 games. And there's no way... There is a way, but not the normies would never figure out how to add more ROMs to it. And it is just running ROMs, by the way. I mean, people have hacked it. Yeah, people have hacked it and added more ROMs. It's fine. It works fine. So you can make your own, and you should. And we'd do a video about it, but we get sued.
You know what else needs blockchain? Frappuccinos.
You can get anything at Starbucks with Bitcoin, but you can't get a straw.
What timeline is this? What crazy future are we living in?
When you order a frappuccino, how do you order it? Do you say frappuccino or do you say frappe?
Frappuccino.
I say frappuccino because I feel like a douche.
I don't ever order frappuccinos though.
I've never ordered. I actually had somebody else order mine for me, and I described it as the milkshake.
Oh yeah. I usually, if I go to Starbucks, which isn't very often, I usually just get an iced coffee. It's not very exciting.
So they've partnered with ICE. What? No, it's not that ICE. It's like Intercontinental Exchange or something like that. Anyway, it's a payment processing thing. So that you can use Bitcoin now at Starbucks. And they claim a lot of people have asked. A lot of people, the Bitcoin people are very militant. And a lot of them have said to us, I'm not going to support you on Patreon until you start accepting Bitcoin. That's like, well, we don't control what Patreon accepts. Come on.
Or do we?
No.
Or do we?
What?
I don't get it.
We don't control Patreon.
Oh, is that the... I was saying that we control Patreon.
Yeah. We don't, because they also had a problem with their payment processor earlier this month.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that. We have no control over that either.
Well, the hot new trend, as we've talked about in several stories, is Fortnite. And for whatever reason, you know what? There's always comments about this too when we dog it. And I've not tried it. I'll always preface it and say I've not tried it. But mobile Fortnite. People like mobile Fortnite.
A lot of my younger cousins play it.
Mobile?
Yeah, they play on their phones.
Wow, I don't get it. Well, anyway, it's coming to Google Play. But importantly... It's not coming to Google Play. It's coming to Android. They are not going to list it on the Google Play Store because that takes 30%.
I think that Google is going to shut this down because I'm pretty sure this is against the Google Terms of Service. So you got to download an installer from the Google Play Store, which is free, and then sign into your account, which has the paid stuff, which is deliberately, blatantly against the Google Terms of Service.
But if you do it... Now, they did do it on iOS. But because both Google and iOS and Play Store... take not only a cut of the install, which will be free, but the microtransactions. That's a lot of money they stand to lose. And they are paying Apple because there's no other choice.
Yeah.
But with Android, you can load apps outside of the Play Store. And this might set a precedent where we lose that ability. Thanks, Fortnite.
I don't think most of the kids I know who are playing it probably wouldn't even think to check the website. They'd probably just go to the App Store anyway.
Well,
they're putting an installer in the App Store.
That's what I mean.
For now, anyway.
But they're telling you about it.
Google shuts that down.
Yeah, they're telling you about it. And I think it's popular enough. Like, the reason they might get away with this, if Google doesn't try to stop it, is that it's so popular, they'll find it. You know, they'll go to the trouble. Most apps, you couldn't get away with that. You want the discoverability. But with Fortnite, everybody already knows about it.
I'll ask my cousins and see what they say.
I wonder how long it'll be before we get, like, the, you know... You go to Fortnite crypto.gg and you get the installer that's got the cryptocurrency miner built into it. Yeah.
Probably already exists.
Probably already exists, yeah.
Well, we mentioned earlier about the music services, and it turns out when you have good online streaming and subscriptions, people don't steal as much.
This BBC News article is amazing because it's talking about Tidal, which is the music streaming service you've never heard of.
I've heard of it. I think you hadn't heard of it because you've harped on it a lot this week.
I think it was covered in the Level One News. So yeah, they do know about it because they're loyal viewers.
No, I mean, Wendell might not have known prior.
Yeah, Tidal did. That was Jay-Z's thing, right?
Yeah, Jay-Z and Kanye put in together.
These people,
and they're fighting over it now.
They're apparently famous, and they put all their music on it, and they're like, why did everybody pirate our music?
Yeah, well, more importantly, they didn't put their music anywhere else.
Oops.
So you can only get it on Tidal, and Tidal is apparently not great. And, of course,
doesn't look very good.
Beyonce is a big name, and people want her music, and they're going to steal it if you don't give it to them. Like, you couldn't go to Walmart and buy it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
seems like a recipe.
I actually liked Lemonade, the last album she put out, and I was going to try and get it, and you can only get it through Tidal. And I was like, well, I'll just listen to it on YouTube then.
Ooh.
Sorry, Beyonce. I know she watches this show. She'll be upset.
I'm trying to think of a good Beyonce song to use to chastise you with, but I'm not that familiar with Beyonce.
There's
songs.
A song, Sorry, on Lemonade. Well, actually, she's talking about how she's not sorry, so I ain't sorry.
There
sorry,
you go.
Not sorry.
Yeah.
We had a social media section, but
did it get canceled?
I think we ended up moving some of the stories, so we have exactly one story in the social media section this week.
We've already talked about Facebook some anyway, so you've gotten your fill.
It's more business than social, really. It's about insider trading in Facebook.
And the other one was about the stock price, so we really should have just moved this one over to that one. Another epic failure in story alignment. But anyway, the story is about insider trading, or actually not insider trading. So it turns out there's a rule. When you're going to sell your stock and you're somebody like Mark Zuckerberg, you have to go to the SEC and be like, hey, I'm thinking about selling this stock. Tell me when I can sell it. I want to set up a plan of when I will sell these so I don't crash the market and you're okay with it. And he did that and everything was okay. But he did a lot more of it after the scandal than leading up to the scandal. A lot more of it. So a lot of people are like, yeah, this is legal, but...
A little shady.
And not just the Zuck. There were several other
security,
higher level.
The security officer and a lot of the high up people were like, seems like a good time to sell Facebook stock. And a lot of them got out before the big crash last week. So, yeah. They also point out in this article that he's worth $80 billion or $60 billion or something like that. So it doesn't,
he'll be all right.
It doesn't mean that much to him to get this money out. But hey, you know what? You don't get to be a $60 billion heir. $60 billionaire without counting your pennies, right?
We were harping on Apple being a $1 trillion company. At least Facebook is not a $1 trillion company. Facebook doesn't even have any products.
You are the product.
They've got lots of products. Yeah. Lots of unknowing products just giving out all their info and texting one another. I had never heard of this dude, but I hadn't heard of him either. I've heard of his work.
Heard his voice.
Yeah. So this is a famous animator. He actually passed away this week, but this particular story is basically just going over how this guy was pretty much shortchanged his entire life for all the work he did for Cartoon Network.
Well, they talked about... So
an Adult Swim.
He helped create Space Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Coast to Coast.
I mean, someone else created Space Ghost back in the 40s or something. But,
like the redo. And then there was, what else did he work on? Shoot.
A lot of the Adult Swim stuff. But the article was about how he lived like penniless and in squalor and just died alone.
Yeah, like he couldn't afford a lot of the healthcare that probably would have saved his life.
He said that Cartoon Network kept losing his invoices, so that's probably bad.
Well, what's kind of crazy about it, though, is that he didn't stop the work.
Yeah.
Like, when someone says, oh, you know, I don't want to pay your invoice, it's like, well, okay, then I'm not working for you anymore. But I guess I could see, though, too, this would be, you know, a major opportunity for you as an artist. But
and there's not a lot of other places you could take something like Space Ghost Coast to Coast. Who else is going to put that on the air?
Oh, he did Aqua Teen Hunger Force as well, I think.
Oh, that's
he was
a big one.
Involved in that development as well.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Hate to see that. Those are some good shows. I don't think either of them on the air, right?
I think Aqua Teen might still be on the air.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Still making it. Wow.
I think. I could be wrong. But someone will probably correct us.
Someone will engage in the comments and let us know.
Well, that's the end of Tuesday. And tomorrow we'll be back with probably some government news and possibly hardware. I don't remember how we're going to line that up.
So it'll be a surprise.
You should come back and find out. How exciting will that be?
Got a lot of hardware news this week, just like last week. Had a lot of motherboard videos last week. It's exciting. I'm almost over my thing. I can almost talk again. See ya.
Bye.